Vandals hit two helicopters before delivery to the U.S. Army. United Airlines is reportedly considering a backup to its merger plan. And a Florida congressman predicts the feds will okay a Delta Northwest merger. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, May 16th, 2008. Vandalism, that's the assessment by officials with the Department of Defense of damage found on two H-47 Chinook helicopters on the production line at Boeing's plant in Ridley Park, Pennsylvania. The Associated Press reports employees discovered severed wiring on one Chinook during a quality control inspection on Tuesday, and a second with a suspicious washer. Both helos were among eight being prepared for delivery to the U.S. Army. Tuesday's discovery of the damage shut down the plant for the day. Ken Maupin, resident agent in charge of the Philadelphia Area Office of the Defense Criminal Investigative Service, confirmed, quote, "We have determined that this was a deliberate act and not an accident," unquote. Work has since resumed at the plant, with federal officials passing out flyers offering a $5,000 reward for information regarding the incidents. Numerous news reports citing unidentified sources close to the talks insist that United Airlines is still in talks with U.S. Airways about a merger, but it looks as if United may be hedging that bet. The Associated Press cites anonymous sources in a new report that says United is in discussions with Continental Airlines about forming an alliance to gain some benefits of working together without going through a merger. As ANN reported, Continental rejected a straight-up merger with United last month. AP's source was described as a person not authorized to speak on the matter, but was quoted as saying United would pursue either a merger with U.S. Airways or an alliance with Continental, but not both, and could still decide to remain independent as well. Independent airline consultant Bob Mann played down the odds of United joining an alliance with Continental. Quote, "The United guys are very much heading in the direction of something that will really allow them to downsize the airline. We're talking about large capacity cuts. The alliance doesn't get to the point where you can really do the capacity cutting," unquote. Whenever big airlines discuss merging, two big question marks are workforce integration and government antitrust approval. While labor unions and many Democrats in Congress are clearly not happy about industry consolidation, at least one influential congressman predicts the U.S. federal government will approve the merger of Delta and Northwest. Reuters reports that Congressman John Mica, a Florida Republican and former chairman of the House Representatives Aviation Subcommittee, told a hearing on the merger proposal the deal does not appear anti-competitive. Democrats have argued the merger would lead to service reductions, job cuts, and more mergers, which would further narrow choices for consumers. James Oberstar, a Minnesota Democrat and chairman of the House Transportation Committee, said, quote, "In short, the pending merger places at risk the consumer benefits of airline deregulation," unquote. But Mica said it's more than likely the enormous challenges facing the industry will convince officials at the Justice and Transportation Departments to approve the deal. Antitrust and industry experts have predicted the same outcome. Among those challenges, Delta and Northwest reported a combined loss of $10.5 billion just in the first quarter of 2008, much of that one-time goodwill charges related to their brushes with bankruptcy. Delta estimates a merger with Northwest would produce cost savings and revenue gains of at least $1 billion a year and result in cuts of about 1,000 management and administrative positions. Owners of aircraft powered by Pratt & Whitney CFM56-3 engines now have expanded options at overhaul time. Three new FAA supplemental type certificates allow the use of Global Material Solutions life-limited parts for the engine's high-pressure compressor, high-pressure turbine, and low-pressure turbine. GMS has now certified a total of 19 life-limited parts for the engine, with FAA life limits equal to the original type certificates. The FAA's STC process required meeting all the same regulations required of a type certificate holder. The program had already earned STC approval for the engine fan and booster. All STC'd parts are expected to enter service later this year. Up next on ANN, Airbus helps parent company Eads post a first quarter profit. A North Carolina company will build fuselage sections for the Airbus A350XWB. And aircraft sales are no longer dependent on U.S. lenders for financing. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 16th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Officials at EADS have openly talked of realigning the company to rely less on profits from its troubled Airbus division. Perhaps that won't be so urgent now. Fueled by continued strong demand for its airliners, Airbus helped EADS post a $440 million profit for the first quarter. That's up from a $15 million loss in last year's first quarter, when development delays for the A380 were still in the headlines. The International Herald Tribune reports EADS CEO Louis Gallois called the first quarter results encouraging in the face of serious economic concerns, including the continued strength of the euro against the U.S. dollar. That's a disparity which by itself erased $557 million from the company's profit just in the first quarter. Despite the good news, nobody's kicking back with a cold one yet. Gallois said Wednesday, quote, "Though many serious challenges have been overcome, there remains much to do in order to secure the significant and lasting improvement in operational performance we are targeting," unquote. BCG Partners investment strategist Howard Wieldon said EADS deserves credit, but regarding the company's Power 8 restructuring plan, he added, quote, "They haven't given answers on how they will achieve all they have set out to achieve," unquote. Earlier this week, Airbus also confirmed that A380 production rates won't meet original goals. That means deliveries in subsequent years and the resulting income as customers pay for those planes will also be below original expectations. Spirit AeroSystems announced on Wednesday it has signed a contract with Airbus to design and produce a major composite fuselage structure for the A350XWB. Spirit will design and manufacture the Section 15 center fuselage frame. That's a composite structure about 65 feet long, 20 feet wide, and weighing nearly 9,000 pounds. Spirit CEO Jeff Turner remarked, quote, "Partnering with Airbus on the A350XWB is a significant step in our company's history. It highlights our focus on creating long-term value for Spirit shareholders by growing our company with new customers," unquote. Spirit says it will expand its operations near Kinston, North Carolina, facilitated by a package of state and local incentives, and will employ 1,000 people when all five phases of its composites manufacturing center are complete. Airbus executives have publicly stated their goal to move some portion of manufacturing operations to locations where costs are counted in dollars, not euros, as a hedge against currency fluctuations. There was a time when weakness in the U.S. financial industry would have meant a downturn in aircraft sales worldwide. Now, as U.S. lenders pull back and lick their subprime mortgage wounds, financiers in other nations are stepping in. Kostya Zolotowski, director of capital markets development for Boeing Capital, tells Dow Jones aircraft financing conditions worldwide remain strong, even as U.S. capital markets and private equity are in a doldrum. Zolotowski says investments from U.S. hedge funds and capital markets now account for only about 5% of the global aircraft lending market, with wealthy banks and sovereign funds in China and the Middle East picking up new business which once went to U.S. interests. He adds that European banks are still lending on aircraft and providing financing at favorable costs, in line with historical rates at about 6-7%. Zolotowski adds that Boeing itself is prepared to finance aircraft purchases for customers, but so far has seen no need to do direct financing. Quote, "We've looked at the aircraft orders we have on the books through 2010. We don't see any sales where we would have to step in," unquote. A Republic RC-3CB, which disappeared more than a half century ago, has been successfully recovered from the bottom of Quebec's Lac Simon. The plane became prominent in local lore after it became lost in a heavy snowstorm on November 21, 1957. It was assumed to have gone down in the lake after the body of a hunting dog washed up on shore, but the exact fate of the four hunters on board had remained a mystery until recently. Last fall, a 10-year search by a group of divers finally paid off with discovery of the wreckage, intact, on the lake's floor, 50 meters below the surface. The Ottawa Citizen reported local police used a tow truck to bring the hull to a position near shore on Tuesday evening, then pulled it completely from the water on Wednesday morning. There were four hunters in that plane for its last flight, all bachelors in their mid-30s. The remains of two were found on the bottom of the lake near the plane, and another inside the wreckage. The body of the fourth has not been found. Police say the wreckage will eventually be released to 39-year-old Ottawa resident Guy Morin, who spent summers on Lac Simon as a child and grew up to lead the decade-long effort to find and recover the plane. Chris Koberstein, an aircraft mechanic and experienced diver who was on the search team, says the recovery team remains curious about the four bachelors who died in the crash. They had no known immediate family. Quote, "We know their names, but we'd like to know more about them to identify them and tell their loved ones that they've been found," unquote. Still ahead, Cub Crafters shows off its new hot rod in Alaska. AOPA wants to help you save money on fuel. And Oshkosh will feature an affordable flying center. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, May 16th, 2008. I'm Paul Platt. 1 year after unveiling the concept plane at the 2007 Alaska State Aviation Trade Show and Conference, Cub Crafters used the 2008 Alaska Airmen Show to formally introduce for sale its Hot Rod Carbon Cub. The company took the lightest airframe it could create, stuffed a big motor up front, and added a high-lift wing. The resulting 220-horsepower Frankenstein model wowed spectators by demonstrating a 19-foot takeoff roll. The Carbon Cub kit you buy can be fitted with 180-horsepower Lycoming O360, which gives it the best takeoff and landing performance of any Cub on the market, according to the company. Traditionalists can also choose a 100-horsepower Continental O200, burning less than 5 gallons an hour and still outperforming most other Super Cubs. In either combination, the Carbon Cub uses 40 carbon fiber airframe parts to replace metal or fiberglass, saving more than 30 pounds off a stock Sport Cub LSA. The Carbon Cub is available as an ELSA kit or as an experimental amateur build kit. Each is offered in 3 sub-kits, fuselage, wing, and finishing. Cub Crafters Chairman Jim Richmond says the parts count is only half that of the original Super Cub. Quote, "We estimate the average builder will be able to start covering the airplane in as little as 120 hours, unquote. With 100 low lead priced near $5 a gallon in some areas, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association is taking steps to help members get the most out of each aviation fuel dollar. Woody Cahill, VP of Government Affairs, notes, quote, "As with automotive fuel, there's no indication that aviation fuel prices are going to go down anytime soon. So pilots need to do what they can to conserve fuel. We have a lot of experience to draw on, and we can help our members fly as fuel efficiently as possible," unquote. Beginning with today's issue of AOPA's weekly e-pilot and e-flight training electronic newsletters, the AOPA technical staff will publish a 4-part series on ways pilots can reduce their fuel costs by reducing fuel consumption. The series will also be posted on AOPA's website. The series begins with a look at things pilots can do in the cockpit, such as proper leaning, economy cruise settings, and cruise descent. Later installments will take a look at flight planning to make the best use of winds and weather, engine condition and drag reduction, and modifications that can improve speed, efficiency, and overall performance on any flight. In addition to the conservation measures, AOPA has partnered with 100LL.com to list current fuel prices by airport in AOPA's airport directory online. The directory's search function allows a pilot to find the cheapest avgas near his home airport or along his route of flight. Concern over the cost of fuel and all the other costs of aviation are also being taken seriously at EAA, Oshkosh is coming, and EAA has announced a related attraction set to debut at AirVenture this year, the Affordable Flying Center. EAA's Ron Wagner explains, quote, EAAers have lots of creative ways to get the most bang for their aviation bucks, and the idea is to collect and make them available to share with each other, unquote. Located in the former NASA building, the Affordable Flight Center will feature a mini forum area, indoor displays, and examples of standard category aircraft like the Taylor Craft, Piper Colt, TriPacer, and others, which can provide an economical pathway to flight. EAA's staff of experts and volunteers will be on hand to answer questions and provide information to those seeking a less expensive way to pursue their aviation passion. Concepts discussed will include partnerships and flying clubs, owner maintenance opportunities, plans building, and the potential of light sport aircraft to save money. Wagner has put out the call to EAA members who would like to share their stories about innovative ways to affordably own, build, buy, maintain, or fly an aircraft. He's also looking for featured aircraft to display outside the Affordable Flying Center. Finally, the first in a series of British UFO files dating back to the 1970s were released on the National Archives website Wednesday. The files come from the Ministry of Defense and include descriptions of alleged unidentified aerial phenomena, or UFO sightings, and subsequent evaluations of the reports. The reports released this week include witness descriptions of sightings, including such accounts as, an object was moving across the sky and it looked like it was on fire. It was cigar-shaped and silver in color. Another relates, a disc was seen flying above two aircraft. The official policy of the MOD is to investigate just enough to determine whether a flying object represents a threat, but stay out of questions regarding extraterrestrial origins. To deal with a large number of requests each year for information relating to UFOs, the government plans to screen all its archived files for posting on the National Archives website over the next 3 years. You can find that website, by the way, at www.nationalarchives.gov.uk. Boy, if they decided to fund that site with ads from Google, I bet they'd wind up with a fun bunch of sponsors. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll continue my conversation with Mike Bush, who's started a professional maintenance management service for small general aviation aircraft. How do ANP mechanics feel about this new relationship? And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.